T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes, indeed. Jumping off into our fourth and final hour here of Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, and Bobby's rocking his Go Joe, the Cajun spelling with a tiger footprint, paw print, I should say. Got that. I got one of those as well. It's pretty unique.
Yeah, this is definitely a hot item. Go Joe Burrow, EAUX.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. And listen, obviously, if Joe Burrow's with the Bengals and they play once every 4 years, Bengals, Saints, or wherever Joe Burrow ends up, I don't think one LSU fan would ever be anti-Joe Burrow in the pros. But now, except when they play the Saints, probably.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Then you,
whatever team Joe Burrow goes to, yeah, Saints fans are going to adopt as their second favorite
team. Yeah. Because what he meant to the program.
Yeah.
That stands to reason.
John in Lakeview, what's going on, John? You're on WWL.
Yeah, just following up on the Odell, even though I'm glad that we kind of changed subjects to Joe Burrow and obviously the success of, the best team in college football. But, real quick, just wanted to see what you guys thought about just moving towards the future of how you think LSU Coach O might respond to this, if they'll come out with a statement. And I guess more importantly, if Odell, you think, and I agree with Christian, that he hasn't been held accountable for most of his NFL career. But if you think Odell will and should come out with a statement and maybe own up to it, maybe.
Well, yeah, he should, but John, he should, but I don't know if he will. If I'm part of Odell's PR staff or personal handler, yes, come on, you got to apologize, and that I didn't want to take anything away from the program. I got caught up in the hype. Maybe I was out of control, stuff like that. But it's that Coach O's job. That's why LSU has a PR staff. Michael Bonnet and all them, they got to handle all that. The one thing, John, you got to embrace in that Coach O, this is good. For millennial athletes and the young players going forward, they embrace the LSU players that were there and in the NFL. Or not even, just if you were a Tiger, if you're an LSU Tiger.
If you played at LSU.
If you played at LSU. So that's something that needs to continue to grow. Now, with that being said, they might have rules or they might have leeway with ex-players, and then Odell Beckham might be in his own category.
The OBJ law.
They might have some individual that, okay, you got to be around. Odell Beckham's coming to town. He's at a home game or whatever in the future. He's at an event. And we just need somebody around to monitor him. And all of a sudden, to be able to foresee what potentially could be a problem and nip it in the bud. I think that's what they'll do. No, Odell Beckham's not going anywhere. But I think he will be... I should say they will try and control him and not give him leeway where it's like, man, what the hell he just did? Or like the whole money situation and all that might have been. Because you got to realize, come on, now, how can you do that out in the open, the money situation? You have to know that.
There's a CNN camera right there.
You have to know that it's being filmed.
Of course.
Because then that was all about Odell Beckham. That's way out of control. Because money exchanges hands throughout the United States, throughout college programs, all everywhere. So that's done behind the scenes where there's no cameras. I'm just telling you.
Listen,
what goes on.
He could have
to do that right there. That's.
He could have put cash in an envelope in their lockers, and nobody would have known anything about it.
You put in
not one
pocket.
Word.
No.
You got plausible deniability. I don't know where that came from.
Or this goes back to even the 70s, 80s players that I've played with who played in the NFL, the Benjamin handshake. Now a Benjamin's not worth a Benjamin, but it was worth back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
You know, like, man, $100. What am I doing $100? No, back then it was like, whoa, that was like, man.
Well, you might feel like that $100 isn't a big deal, but
think about $100, Christian.
No, I know it goes further. It went further
years
then.
Ago compared
yeah,
to
for
now.
Sure.
So
yeah.
that
you can get a soda for a
that's
nickel.
That's why just the perception and the visual how that looks. Come on, Odell. That's why Odell knew. You might say, oh well. He was just in the moment. He's celebrating. He's feeling good. No, you can't be. You can't be that out of control. You have to know that scenario. That was all about Odell Beckham. And I don't know, social media, Chris. You know, I don't know enough about all that. That was all about the likes and the hits and Odell Beckham being relevant in a national championship setting. I'm not talking about even the locker room. Just by the whole money situation on the field. That should never have happened.
Dave Aranda leaving LSU, headed to Baylor to be their head coach. Breaking it down will be Billy Embody, covers LSU sports for Go247.com. Who are some of the likely candidates that Coach O will target to replace Aranda as LSU's defensive coordinator? This is Sports Talk here on WWL. With success, other programs come and poach your coaching staff. It's just a part of it. LSU defensive coordinator Dave Aranda headed to Baylor to be their head football coach. Welcome back to Sports Talk. You already lost Joe Brady to the NFL and the Carolina Panthers. Billy Embody covering LSU for Go247.com, joining us now. And Billy, I know some fans are, you know, oh, Matt Rule's the root of all evil because he left Baylor, Aranda's at Baylor, and he also took Joe Brady with him. I mean, this is just a product of college football when you have success. Alabama's dealt with it for years.
Yeah, there's no question about that, and it's something you just have to deal with as a program, and Ed Ogeron's going to have to deal with it, at least on the defensive coordinator side, for the first time since he's been the head coach at LSU. But it's okay. They just won a national championship. I think he'll take it, and having to deal with this quote-unquote problem. You win a national championship, people are going to want your coaches, and Dave Aranda's been patient and trying to find his opportunity, and now he's pegged this one as the one he wants to take, and so you really can't blame him.
Now, Billy, don't you think Coach O basically is prepared for this moment? Because I was not worried about UNLV, but Baylor makes sense considering where they're at and the uptick of the program for Dave Aranda to go there. But when you look at potential candidates, whether they've had professional success or professional experience, or what would be maybe a short list or a handful or two or three guys, I'm just intrigued that Coach O's relationship with those USC connections with John Robinson, and what I mean by that, not I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there, a guy who's been a defensive coach, and he took the Titans to the Super Bowl. They're on the cusp of going to the Super Bowl. You might say, well, that was two decades. I still think he wants to coach like a Jeff Fisher. And then also, when you look at Bill Johnson and the relationship with Coach O on the D-line, and he was with Wade Phillips. So what is your take? Do you think you go young, maybe a name you're not familiar with? But those are two names. I don't know. I think Wade Phillips might want to coach, and he might coach dying, one day. And the knowledge that he has, and all the people that I've talked to, that he's a young 70s. You might think, he's 71, 72. But his knowledge, he's way younger than that, and his enthusiasm. Now, recruiting comes about not necessarily in that route, but even like a Jeff Fisher, who's been a head coach, who's been part of outstanding defenses. What is your take and what Coach O would do going forward, and obviously the short list that he maybe would have?
Yeah, I think for Ed, he's done a good job, and he's also shown a willingness to go outside the box and go get somebody like Joe Brady. He's also listened to somebody like Dave Aranda and gotten Bill Bush on board. And all the while, he's also made hires like Bill Johnson, guys that he's familiar with and have NFL ties, and Tommy Robinson as well, who's somebody that, again, a USC tie, an NFL guy. And this is, I would say, the majority of them on staff outside of Mickey Joseph and Steve Ensminger, Corey Raymond, are NFL guys, the guys that you really think are rooted in the NFL, James Craig as well. But I just think for this one, it's such an important hire. And for Ed, I don't necessarily think he'll go. I think somebody is, I know young 71, but as old as Wade Phillips, somebody who hasn't recruited, and then Jeff Fisher as well, somebody who's who's certainly kind of been on the outside looking in on coaching, I don't think he'll go that route. I think there's going to be more interest from some of the top rising names in college football that want to take this job. And who knows, as he goes through it all, he might find somebody that is similar to a Joe Brady. And now I'm not saying somebody's going to reinvent the wheel on how to play defense, but I just think he's got an open checkbook. He's got a lot of connections, and he's going to play all of those off each other and try to figure out what the next best move is. I think one name is Todd Grantham. You know, will LSU back up the truck and go get him? I know that's a name thrown around. Somebody who's familiar in the SEC, I don't know what his interest level would be, but you never know. And then other young up-and-coming coaches in the SEC, guys like Brad White and Ryan Walters at Kentucky and Missouri, respectively, both had defenses that were higher ranked than LSU's this past year. So I look for guys that also do more with less in that regard, too.
Could Pete Golding from Alabama be a candidate?
I don't necessarily know. I'm sure there's a lot of Alabama fans that would be celebrating LSU taking Pete Golding off of their hands, just the way LSU went into Brian Denny and the way just Alabama played defense in general this year. But it'd be a return to Louisiana. He's got ties here. It'd be a natural fit. I'm just not so sure that would be the route that Ed would go. I think one thing you always ask yourself when, and I know Ed won't pay attention to social media on this, but are opposing fans going to be celebrating the departure of one of their coaches for your program? And we've seen that a couple of times with John Chavis over the back half of his career when he's left other places. Most of the fans from those respective programs are more celebrating than lamenting it more often than not. But I look for somebody who's trending a little bit more up than that.
Billy Embody covers LSU for go247.com. If we can fast forward next year, it's presumed Miles Brennan will be the quarterback succeeding Joe Burrow. And, man, what a tough spot he's in considering what he's trying to replace. And I hope LSU fans are going to at least understand he's not going to be able to put up the numbers in all likelihood that Joe Burrow did.
Billy, you know how hard that is? You never want to be the man to replace the man. The Dolphins are still trying to replace Dan Marino. I mean, Dan Marino's my age. I'm like, what? I'm thinking about that. And then you look at John Elway when he took over the Broncos. He had to go out and get an established guy like Peyton Manning to win a championship. So, boy, when you talk about in the history of college football, I don't know if they've ever had more pressure than what's going to come about with Miles Brennan, whoever's the future quarterback, to follow Joe Burrow, considering what he accomplished.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's going to be very difficult for him to obviously step into that role. I don't think LSU fans will take it easy on him. They're not a bunch to do that, in my opinion, at least. But he's going to have a ton of talent around him if he is the guy. And I think Ed will also look at the graduate transfer market. You know, I think any time, and we've talked a lot about this, I think, you know, just as a whole with Ed Ogeron, is that he's learned over the course of his career now up to this point to explore all options and look for the absolute best to bring into this program. And so I think he'll consider a graduate transfer at quarterback if it's the right player. But either way, whoever that is, if that's the case, they still got to replace Joe Burrow, and it's going to come with a lot of scrutiny. But also, it's a big opportunity for a graduate transfer to come in and play in this offense and do what they do. So whether it's Miles Brennan or somebody not on the roster right now, they've got huge shoes to fill.
Billy, just humor me here. Is this LSU team of 2019 that ends up winning the national championship, at least in the modern era, are they the greatest college football team of the modern era?
I think so, and somebody tweeted this out, but I think they're the only team to beat
all four.
Five or six. All four of the top preseason top four, and then you do that, and then you look at all the top 10 wins they had, and even the Texas one. I mean, that Texas team that they beat early in the year was much stronger than they finished, without a doubt. I mean, before injuries kind of set in and the wheels kind of came off, but it's the best offense, and then the way the defense played down the stretch, what they did to two of the best offenses in college football, absolutely. I think it's right there.
And, Billy, I've said this because, I mean, it could be prolific. You can have a prolific offense, I should say. But, I mean, to achieve what they did as far as points, you know, when you look at scoring offense, and what I mean by that is – come on, the Peyton Manning Passing Academy, And all of a sudden, I wasn't there, but Chris and Mike Dettillier, they're there, and I heard the interview. Joe Burrow said, oh, let's go 40, 50, 60 points. And you're like, oh, I'm glad he's confident. But you think, okay, that's kind of pie in the sky. But when all said and done, they averaged 48.5 points, so basically almost 50 points a game. And then you look at the championship game. Clemson did have the number one passing defense and number one scoring defense. And come on, look at the final score. I mean, that, to me, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's next level stuff, and they left some points out on the board, on the field against Auburn. They, probably the Texas A&M game. Joe Burrow was a little upset. They left a couple out there. I think he had a turnover in that one. He, there were a few times this year where he was always saying, you know, yeah, that's great, but we left about 14 points out there on the field. And so, I mean, yeah, I mean, the way this offense rolled, I mean, they should have hit that 50 mark. Shame on them.
Billy Imbati covering LSU for Go247.com. Billy, would this be an accurate statement that Joe Burrow was basically mentally playing a pro game at the college level this year?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, just the way he approached everything. I mean, he didn't have to go to class. He was able to just spend as much time in the football facility as he wanted. And he took all of his classes online, of course, but was able to just give it his all in terms of his attention. And he treated it like he was already a pro. And I think you saw that. He's somebody that was laser focused to just knowing, you know, a lot of people around him and knowing Joe. I mean, he was somebody that really didn't go out, didn't really hang out with, you know, too many people. He just kind of kept to himself and kept to the team. And that's how he treated it. And then, he certainly had a well-deserved party on Monday night into Tuesday morning. And I hope he's still got it going.
Billy, interestingly enough, Miles Brennan's graduating this summer, so he'll have a similar approach where he can make it really all about his job.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he'll have an opportunity to, you know, start building his draft stock, and he's gotten experience this year and on a big stage, again, in the Peach Bowl against Oklahoma and other parts of this season. He was able to get in there as well. So, I mean, I think he's poised to have a shot to certainly win the job if they don't go with a graduate transfer, but he's got 2 years where, you know, he's not going to have to worry too much about actual class, so to speak.
Billy, what was Joe Burrow's biggest boss moment this year? In the SEC championship game where he scrambled around and threw that pass way downfield, he did it against Oklahoma as well, or when he popped out the cigar after the national championship game?
I was hoping you were going to let me break the cigar one on you. Yeah, I'm going with the off the field move. I mean, that was monster stuff right there. And then rolling right into a Barstool podcast the next morning, I tipped my cap to him and I had a cigar on bourbon that night. So, he and I were on the same page there.
What kind?
It was a Monte Cristo. Monte Cristo.
Good call.
I had one of those shops right off of bourbon, the Havana cigar room.
Can never go wrong with a Monte Cristo. Billy Imbati covering LSU sports for Go247.com. Thanks, Billy.
Anytime, guys. Thanks
Billy. All right, coming back for Don, Darren, Aaron, Ken, and Donald next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk to the phones we go. What's up, Don in Lakeview? You're on WWL, Don.
Oh, Don, we haven't heard you for a while. You've been staying away. Are you depressed with the Saints or what? Come on.
Yeah, I'm so depressed. I didn't have enough energy to give to both the Saints and LSU.
What you got, man?
Well, listen, I was going to find out, you know, thanks to, I'm sorry, he's a knucklehead. Odell Beckham and his antics, and, you know, I was reading some things on The Athletic and so forth. Anyway, what's the worst thing that can happen to LSU with this whole thing? I mean, I'm sure they're going to be forthright, you know.
Well, the good thing is, Don, they're cooperating. They got in contact right away with the NCAA and also the SEC, and I think that their cooperation certainly helps. And originally,
ain't nothing gonna happen.
Yeah,
done.
Odell put them in that situation. Not the players. The players weren't seeking out money. They were put in that position by Odell Beckham Jr.
Well, Don, nothing's gonna happen. You don't have to worry because I think LSU's nipping this in the bud. What's gonna happen? If you're a pro, you're a pro. It doesn't matter how much money if you're going pro and Odell Beckham wants to give you.
Yeah, Joe Burrow.
No. Are you coming back? Now, with Jefferson, isn't Jefferson going pro?
Yeah.
What? That doesn't matter. No, it's when all of a sudden the players that are involved, they are, I don't know enough about that, but the players that are coming back to school, if they involved with that money exchange,
if they gave it back, they're
going to give it. Yes, Don, that's the whole thing. You just got to not, I mean, you say give it back. Well, how much do you give back? I mean,
they don't know how much you got.
Yes. So I'm telling you, LSU will not get in trouble. Nothing's going to happen.
And here's the other thing: does Joe Burrow does it look like that he throws LSU under the bus because he came clean? And I believe he did the right thing.
Man, he's just telling the truth. He's like, he didn't even sleep. Come on, he's up partying for hours, and he's just being totally honest. He goes, I don't know, it's real cash. I'm a pro now, so I mean, he's trying to get LSU in trouble or throwing the players under the bus. I think. You get fatigue, and you don't measure every word that you actually say, and I'm guilty of that. Hello. But I'm just saying that's the situation that Joe Burrow was in.
Well, he's being forthright and honest.
He's up all night and then celebrating a victory, and then all of a sudden you're doing so many interviews and you're just being totally honest. And it's not like, come on, you have to be more guarded. Listen, anybody is going to be against Joe Burrow about this. Hello, come on.
I agree with his honesty, though. I totally agree with his honesty.
I mean, that's what happened. So what?
LSU will come out okay with this. My last question would be, and I think the other guy answered it, I was just curious about who they're going to look at and to replace Aranda. And you hit some interesting, comments about, Jeff Fisher or Bill Johnson. That's an interesting take. I was just kind of wondering, somebody that might be more familiar with this, the spread offenses and the defenses that they run against these offenses today. Would they be looking for somebody, maybe a West Coast connection that Coach O has?
Coach O, Don, think about this. And this is not to show you Coach O's stroke. I don't care if it's north, south, east, west. West Coast, from Miami to Syracuse to California, whatever. I don't want to butcher his Italian name. Paul Pasquinelli, is that, am I saying that right?
Yeah, close enough.
He just got let go by the Detroit Lions. Now think about that. You look at the Detroit Lion head coach. He was the defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Paul Pasquinelli, all of a sudden, he's out of Detroit. He said, he's an older man, old individual. I want to go hang out with my family in Connecticut. Coach O was under him in Syracuse. So when you're talking about networking and all the people you know, and then you keep in a file on all these people that you know, who's hot, who's not, who you know knows what they're doing, who's faking the funk, and maybe not as good as maybe the opportunities they've had. Don, I trust Coach O I trust Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis. That, you know, what I mean by that is that he knows what he's doing.
Obviously.
Then understanding that the task at hand. Because Coach O knew the potential of Dave Aranda and the job opportunities he was going to have. So I think he's ahead of schedule. Now, we might not realize that because now we're going to know because Dave Aranda, I think, did the right thing. That would not be a right thing, Joe, to go to UNLV. I mean, come on, you could be a miracle worker, even though you got a new stadium, you're playing with the Raiders. I think they're playing with the Raiders or playing unbelievable facility. But UNLV, you know who's the most famous UNLV player? You know who went there? Randall Cunningham. Old school. You ever heard of Randall Cunningham with the Eagles?
Yeah.
That's where he went to school. But you don't really think of UNLV. Now, their basketball team, but not their football team, the Running Rebels. You don't think of that. So I'm telling you, this Baylor situation, Texas football, that's what's attracted Dave Aranda, and the cupboard's not bare. To go in that situation, and then, of course, I can't think of his name now, the guy that went to Carolina.
Matt Rhule.
He parlayed that.
From Temple to Baylor.
To Baylor. Look how he turned that around. Now he's taking advantage of the Carolina Panthers situation. And then David Aranda's going to step right in there.
You know who would be a name?
So that makes sense.
You know who would be a name that I think Ogeron would be interested in? And he just got hired as a DC with the Redskins. Jack Del Rio.
Okay, but would he lead the Redskins to come?
No,
to
no,
the,
I'm saying prior to.
Oh, it, yeah, without a doubt.
Prior to that, Coach O knows Jack Del Rio. They're close, as I understand. Is that right?
Yes, and again, USC connection.
Yeah.
NFL head coach and all that. Jack Del Rio wanted to get back into football. He had a house, a condo right here in the warehouse district. His daughter went to LSU. Jack Del Rio is my first roommate with the Saints. Hello.
I'm saying if he wasn't hired by the Redskins, Coach O would be targeting him.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. He was the linebacker coach with the Ravens with Ray Lewis. Hello? Come on. No, listen, slow your roll,
LSU.
Tiger Nation. Slow your roll. Coach O has a binder. I'm not even talking about now, probably social media. What the hell's a binder, Iver? No, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That you have in this folder. You can have that online, whatever. And that you know the resumes of all these people, all the connections. Come on. That who?
That would have been one that you could establish for sure.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, Christian. That's why I even brought up Paul Pasquino. He was just recently with the Lions. I know they didn't have success defensively. They should have had more success. But still, it's all about relationships and who you cross paths with, whether it's north, south, east, west. And I'm telling you, LSU couldn't be in a better position in the connections with Coach O at the helm. I'm telling you right now, what did I tell you with Sean Payton, even when people think I was like crazy? Bobby, what do you think, Antonio Brown? I said, I don't know. If Sean Payton wants him, I want him. If you don't want him, then I don't want him. Oh, Bobby, I can't believe he could be disruptive in the locker room. You don't think Sean Payton knows that? Come on, look at the skins on the wall. If Sean Payton wants Antonio Brown to help us win a Super Bowl, I'm all for it. Now, look at the antics and what Antonio Brown has done lately. Boy, he needs to go get
when
some,
Drew Rosenhaus drops you,
he needs to get some therapy.
I mean, think about this. Drew Rosenhaus is the agent that sat in front of T.O.'s driveway.
Oh, and he's doing sit-ups.
He's doing sit-ups, and he was going, next question. And he drops A.B.? Man, that tells you. It's a conditional drop, but still.
Even Drew Rosenhaus knows that Antonio Brown's out of control. So the point being, when that all came about, I go, why would the Saints even entertain this? You know why? It's all about winning. And you have to understand the locker room. So that's why I took the approach, and I'm going to take this approach, whether it's the Saints or LSU, because they deserve that recognition and that credit and that trust. Whatever Sean Payton wants to do, I'm all for. One way or the other. Whatever Coach O wants to do, I'm for one way or the other.
Well,
and as a fan, you should respect that. You know why? Because the skins are on the wall. What have you done for me lately?
Well,
even more than the Saints.
He built this staff. That's a championship staff. He built it.
Hello, yes.
He can do it again.
Now, Coach Miles brought in Dave Aranda.
Fine, but he was smart enough to keep him around with
hell
an extended.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin Marown brought in Joe Brady from the Saints. Come on. I'm going to tell you right now, don't you think Pete Carroll knows what he's doing? Won national championships at USC with the Seahawks. In contention, they should have won two Super Bowls instead of one. But that's a pretty good resume when you talk about mentors. And, you know, Coach O has a lot of mentors. And, being a part of five national championships, two at University of Miami, two at USC, even though it was split, you know, Associated Press, Crystal Ball and all that stuff. But still, who you're around and who you acknowledge. That's why, come on. Listen, Houdat Nation, Tiger Nation, local fan base, you have to trust Coach O like you would trust Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis. I'm telling you, because that's just where we're at right now. When you have success, people are going to take away your coaches. That's just part of the deal. Come on. You know that, Kato.
The Coach O coaching tree kind of has begun, starting to get
right,
legs.
Right, right.
This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Another big day for the LSU Tigers tomorrow. Bobby, they're headed up to Washington, D.C., going to visit President Donald Trump.
Yeah, boy, when you look at the recognition, whenever you're a national champ, now it'll be interesting to see if they're going to get fed Burger King or McDonald's or a
combination. Last year, that was the government shutdown.
Yeah, so, but I mean,
imagine they're going to eat a little better.
Well, I mean, even though, I mean, I like a good hamburger.
Right.
I mean, I like Burger King. I like McDonald's. I like fried chicken. I like it all.
Have you tried beefless Whopper?
So what is that? Is that
I don't know, but it's all off of plants. I have no interest in eating it.
If it tastes like a burger, I'll eat it.
Okay.
I mean, if it tastes good, your taste budget can fool your brain.
I have no interest.
It doesn't matter. So, but anyway, you look at the LSU Tigers heading to the White House. Now, what's interesting, they're going to visit the president tomorrow, that being Donald Trump, to celebrate the victory. That is confirmed. And, you know, when you look at it, I think it's a big part of, from a local perspective, U.S. GOP whip Steve Scalise, an LSU grad from Jefferson, was a big part of that. U.S. Representative, Republican, I should say, Mike Johnson of Shreveport was also there. So the bottom line is that Trump knows his wheelhouse. Come on, he shows up at Alabama, he shows up in Louisiana, come on. It's not like showing up for a Washington Nationals game. Come on, he knows. And listen, before you know it, the 2020 election in the fall is going to be here right around the corner. But to say the least, Trump has been politically popular in Louisiana, was loudly cheered when he took the Mercedes-Benz Superdome field on Monday ahead of the national anthem. He visited Louisiana more than any other. I didn't realize this. He visited Louisiana more than any other sitting president in recent history. So Donald Trump
was campaigning.
Louisiana. Yeah, so I did not realize that. And like I said, he went to Alabama and LSU beat the Crimson Tide 46-41 in November. Now, all presidents do this. They go to the Army-Navy game, the football game, and the White House, like I said early, they served up fast food, McDonald's and Burger King, championship winning team last year. Now, that was the government shutdown, so it'll be interesting to see what the meal's going to be coming up. But now, when you talk about celebration and parades, so it goes on. They're going to the White House on Friday. What's going to happen this weekend? Because I think you need to celebrate. Because
don't be surprised if it's crawfish.
Because a lot of times it's few and far between, though, Christian, that we don't recognize and don't enjoy the process or you win a championship. No, what's going to happen next year? The hell with next year. How about we just live the moment? And it's going to come about after the White House visit on Friday. What's going to happen Saturday? I don't know if Mother Nature or the weather's going to cooperate. There's a threat of rain that's kind of forcing to move in Saturday at noontime. Now, the national championship celebrations at the PMAC, the Pete Maravich Assembly Center, has been set for Championship Plaza near Billy Cannon statue on the west side of Tiger Stadium. Now, they will have a parade. I think rain or not, if it's not lightning, they having a damn parade.
Oh, yeah.
You might be all wet. But if you're feeling good, who cares if you're wet? But anyway, a parade from the school music to the PMAC via Victory Hill will still roll at 11 a.m. on Saturday, provided there's no severe weather. To me, that would be lightning. If the parade is canceled, though, the celebration will kick off at noon, the school said. Fans will have to enter at the Assembly Center via the ramps on the south side of the arena. So you know what, damn it? We're having a celebration, come rain or shine. Now, there might be a different celebration because you always want – a parade is special.
Mm-hmm.
Even I don't care how long the parade is. Just if you have a parade and then if you can get together in the PMAC and this is a special occasion. Getting to go to the White House and to come back right there in your backyard and celebrate the championship.
Would you be at all surprised if it's crawfish at the White House?
Now, you got some inside scoop on that, Christian?
No, I'm just wouldn't surprise me.
So, Steve Scalise, I mean, but wait, is that really crawfish season?
No, but you can get them.
No, you can get them because how they grow, yeah, year round. It's like
you can get them. They're a little bit more in season now. There's a better crop this year than earlier than it's usually.
Because
usually
it really hasn't been cold, or is that what you're saying?
So. I think so.
Okay, no damn overseas crawfish.
No. No, I don't know. If it was up to me, I'd be like, all right, let's get him some crawfish. Because the tale between Joe Burrow and Coach Ed Orgeron was they met. Their initial meeting was over crawfish. And then I was at a restaurant that doesn't traditionally serve crawfish, and Coach O made it happen and called the owner of the restaurant and said, hey, I need some crawfish here.
Well, I think Steve Scalise could pull that off.
Yeah.
They get them crawfish or whatever. Or you can have unbelievable celebration, whether it be jambalaya, gumbo, whatever. Even in honor of Coach O celebrating, get some unbelievable gourmet ham sandwiches. I mean, you just throw that out there. No, just be symbolic.
That's how he celebrated.
It would just be symbolic to have that. But congratulations to the Tigers to go to the White House. Listen, I went to the White House in 1989. I told you that story. Did I ever tell you that story?
Yeah, I think so.
It was not Junior. It was the old man George Bush.
Okay.
In 1989, actually got to go celebrate Easter. I was in the White House lawn doing the Easter egg hunt with Mike Tomczak, the Ohio State Bears quarterback, and the Chiefs kicker, Nick Lowry.
Nick Lowry. One bar.
I got a volunteer award because I was doing the Breakfast of Champions with leukemia.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to go there, and I had a photo op with George Bush. And even at the menu, you know, I was sitting by the whole time. Dick Cheney, Dick Cheney with Halliburton. He's telling me about Fouchon and all that. I'm like, you know, they kind of prep you, and you all from Cutoff. Yeah. I said, man, how does he know about Fouchon? And talking about all that, but he was with Halliburton, obviously. But that's why I sat by with that lunch at the White House with Dick Cheney.
Great job, Logan Falgu, Master Control, Steve Geller, for helping us put together the program. Our executive producer and program director, Diane Newman. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I am out. Bobby, do you think?
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat go Tigers, national champs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.